Blog Talk Radio. University from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here.
Get there with us.
We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the
Canadian Coffee. Call the show real quick. Let's do a quick show. We'll take care of you. Call the show. The show.
I always talk about how apropos this theme is. It always is so apropos. And to validate the validity of the aproposation, high 90s in the Big Apple, triple digits really, today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. Hey, truly, August, dog days of summer, summer madness out here. Madness last night at Atlantic City.
Absolutely.
It's been said by many. And the intellectual genius is here. Never been the same. Andre Ward fights. You know, Mike said he should have took some easier fights to get back. Well, he's going to try to get his title back again. Last night, knocked out. And there are little signs of things are going there. His opponent, trailing. Still was waving the victory sign. Hit him with a right hand. Had to go to the hospital after the fight. Never was the same fighter. And the fight last night never possibly will be ever the same fighter he was again. Kathy Duva, the astute genius and beautiful first lady of the sweet science that she is, had somebody in waiting. Vivi came out. Roy Jones Jr. last night, ringside, and in the corner as he is training. Tried to avoid my longtime friend, good buddy, who's so proud of him, love Max Kellerman, got a classic line last night from Tim Lampley when we talked about it. And he said the best fight last night Muhammad Ali ever had in the ring was against Cleveland Big Cat Williams. And as people say about shot fighters, and Lampley said he was the only shot fighter that had been really shot. Sports of that Block Talk Radio and Trust in God. We're never going to be moving here because we're going to. I got Dusty here. Taz is going to join us. Mom, it's not going to be a long show. Something brief and just to the point, but always, let's open up with prayer. And playing a song that I think, like, we're going to close up with Bless. Do a quick prayer here and get ready to move on here on a Sunday, a hot Sunday in the Big Apple. Well, actually, I'm live from Atlantic City, from the Hard Rock Cafe for you. Dusty's in New York. Taz is down here with me in AC. A beautiful place. Once again, thank Ed Keenan for all the professionalism, courtesy. And got a chance to see Tony Page, the boxing guru on The Fan. As I said, we talked there with the Lampley and Max and man Bob, head PR guy over there. Got to see a lot of nice faces hadn't seen for a while. And it was a good night. Good night, good fight, good card. And we'll talk about that in a moment or two, but first, we got to pray Sunday. Good Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. Thank you for last night's laying down this morning, getting up. Clothing our right mind, my mother said. Thank you, Lord, for shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food on our table. Lord, we ask you not to give us what we want, but give us what we need, and we need the area, hoping that we get the combination of both, knowing whatever we get is the best we can get from you. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Bless our families here. Dusty and his family, and we especially pray for Dusty as he comes with some minor health problems. Keep your fence and arm around him. Of course, we love him. and it's so important to us. My father-in-law, Juanito Tiago Perez, 97 years old, looks like more. He's like he's 37. Let's him. All my family on the Latin side, all my family, the African-American side, all my friends throughout the world. But more importantly, Lord, thank you for being our God. Thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us, those that are. Thank you for doing only you can do. In the name of your darling Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Taz, you said as the fight was going, the champ was winning the fight. The fourth round, when his opponent went to the corner, raised his hand, that was a sign of security. Hey, you know what? You know, it's like a basketball game. We're down by 11 now, but we got a lot of basketball to play. Hit him with that right hand, bam. Yeah, it was done. It was done.
Right, right. The thing about it is the reason why that happened is because when you started talking to the guys after the fight, you really realized the game plan of Elito Alvarez and his team. All right? After the fourth round, they figured that they halfway through the fight. Because Kovalev is now an eight-round fighter, right? They're saying to themselves, look, we took the bulk of his power. You know what I mean? He was hitting him with, tattooing him with all of those patented Kovalev combinations and style and everything else or whatever. And what they said to themselves was, this guy is strong, but he's not as strong as he was. And if we can get him into what we know as deep waters, which is the fifth through the eighth rounds and on up, then we got him where we want him. And that's exactly what proved to be the case. Kovalev is no longer a 10-round fighter at this point in time in his career. He's now an eight-round fighter. He's going, you know, it's what happens to us in life when we mature and then we start aging and we start going backwards. And that's what Kovalev is doing right now as a fighter. It's time for him to hang him up immediately.
Much less a 12-round fighter. Much less 12-round.
Yeah. And let's see, too, here, the thing here is, and what they talked about, Taz, here last night, he has the rematch clause, but there's a tremendous chance he won't exercise it. Am I correct?
Well, of course, he's not going to exercise. You saw the body language and the facial expressions and the voice inflection of Kathy Duva, all right? She's the promoter. She would have been the one, you know, first and foremost, exercising that right. You know, we had a bad night, but we're definitely looking to get back into the office. Look,
wow,
she
Taz,
knows.
So on the money, you're right, and you should see.
He'll be back.
You know what? He'll come back because, as Larry Holmes once said, it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life and people are going to pay for it. But I think we can say right now that after Andre Ward, he will never come back to what he was.
Oh, yeah, because
If he comes back, Dusty, he would come back under another promoter other than Main Event. Right now.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, he would. You know why? You know, Kathy went out of her way. Listen, in November of last year, I don't know if you were there, but we went to Madison Square Garden and walked around to the exclusive wing where Main Event basically rented out a room in a facility all for a press interview for Dmitry Bivol. This is why you've got Sergey Kovalev, you know, under contract. He's the main event that night against Vaslav Shabransky, right?
That poor young kid, yeah.
Yeah, remember that? You know, but at the same time, they put carte blanche in front of Dmitry Bivol that night.
Yeah.
Why? Because she was going full throttle, full court press to try to sign this guy because Kathy's been around so long that she understands when a guy is on his way out.
She wanted
Dmitry Bivol. I mean, you know, look, everything last night was geared toward a showdown between Sergey Kovalev and Dmitry Bivol with Bivol beating Kovalev. Right? Wow. That gives her a leg
she
up on the light heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't because right now Yvonne Michelle controls Elito Alvarez.
Well, you're right.
And Adonna Stevenson is also under Yvonne Michelle's control. Right?
Absolutely.
So that's the WBC and the WBA, and the WBO rather, light heavyweight champions of the world. And none of them have any ties to Berdabiev. All right. You know, look, at this point in time, Kovalev is done. There's nothing else he can do. He's not going to move down to 168. He's not going to move up to 190. He's done. There's nothing that they can do right now to preserve him as a commodity for that brand anymore.
Well,
nothing.
This is your feelings, but I'm telling you that the man will make an effort to come back, even if it's his last purse. Even if it's his last purse and then retired. Roy Jones said it yesterday, if you saw the interview. He said he's finished at 35. He's not going to come back. But then there's a rematch clause. He always worked on a rematch clause. When he fought Andre Ward, there was a rematch clause in the first fight. And what happens, Andre Ward played it slick and didn't fulfill the date of the rematch clause on time. He stretched it out because he already had a plan to knock out Kovalev. But let's get back to the fight. The man will take some time off, and I'm very sure he's going to say, hey, Cathy Duva, enforce his rematch clause. I want a shot at my title. I mean, to get a shot at my title back. Or maybe he'll turn around and insist on challenging Bivol. But that's not going to happen. He wants Alvarez back. Now, why does he want Alvarez back? Is he committing suicide? What I don't understand about judging, and let me just go out on this diatribe here, man. I'm frustrated. I got Harold Letterman, or Harold, whatever his name is, the guest judge, and this, that, and the other, and who has gets room and board and travel expenses to be an expert judge.
Right.
The guy had Kovalev winning the first three rounds. I look at my papers, I said, is he for real? The guy didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And to me, and you guys don't have to agree, to me, at first, I saw Alvarez winning at least two of the first three. It wasn't until Kovalev in the fourth round started bombing this kid, and I looked at him. He had the expression of quitting Alvarez. I said, but he was smart enough to rope a dope. And I'm saying, geez, but then he kept fighting. He had Kovalev on the end of his stick. He out-jabbed him two or three times and stopped him in his tracks. But in the exchange of punches, Kovalev was getting the better of it. I said, it's only a matter of time until this kid unloaded that beautiful right hand, and that was it. But the fact of the matter is that Kovalev is not going to take the sitting down. Now, I read the interviews. I went to my computer this morning, and here is Cathy Duva saying, Kovalev always gets tired after the sixth round. He threw him under the bus. He always has a tired problem after the seventh round. Damn, is that what you're going to do? Deal with your the main product? Even
you know what?
I don't think
you know what? You know what? You know what?
She's conceding.
Hey, Dusty.
Hold on. Yeah. She's conceding something that everybody else knows. I think, without question, those first four or five rounds was all Kovalev. I mean, he was confident.
Yeah,
he was
game plan that he had, we took him. Okay, it's like Tommy Hearns. The first five or six rounds, you stay away from Tommy Hearns because Tommy's going to kill you. He stayed away from the champ, and then he came on. But I don't see Cathy throw him under the bus. And we can say, if anybody can throw him under the bus, that damn show is Cathy Duva. She should be allowed to. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Well, what I'm saying is, yes, I wonder if I'm being sensitive is that you don't throw your boy under the bus. Well, he gets tired after the sixth round. Was that an excuse? I mean, did she know that all the time?
No.
You know, well, what I'm saying to you is that here, I would feel that as a promoter who this fighter made her more richer than what she is, you know, she would be protective of the dude and benevolent and say, well, he'll go back, we'll try to get a rematch this and the other, but she just put the last nail on the coffin last night. And this is how
You had to be there at the press conference as Taz was, and had to see her face. And
you had to see everything. Her body language. Listen to this, Dusty.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing about it is this: Sergey Kovalev. All
right,
let's take a look at his body of work. Right.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the fighters he faced and everything else or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about his physical body in comparison to what it was. Two or three years ago, right? We're talking about a broader back. We're talking about more musculature. We're talking about a denser, thicker, real light heavyweight champion. This
strap,
is the man that went
really
on. This
strap,
is the man that
yeah.
went on. Yeah, this is the man that went on record and said, "Look, fame and celebrity went to my head." All right.
Yeah.
Before the second Andre Ward fight, what is he doing? He's coming home. There's a video of him. You know what I mean? On the big teleprompter. You know what I mean? Before the second Ward fight. Where he's showing his wife and his newborn baby the $1 million check or whatever it was that he got from the first ward fight.
Yeah.
This is a man that was content. This is a man that could not take the rigmarole of the rigors of training camp and the authoritative voice of a black man in his corner. Look, I got my issues with John David Jackson, all right? But at the same time, John David Jackson is the guy that guided
him
into the crusher that we knew.
He made him, and he blamed John David Jackson for his first loss to Ward. It was
Come
him.
On,
That's
man.
Why he got rid of him.
You feel me?
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. You're absolutely right. He found a whipping boy in John David Jackson, went back to that Russian who was always in the corner, and what did he do? Nothing.
Nothing, not a damn thing. And look, and Doc, you know what, Doc? You know what, as we're sitting there and we're trying to figure this thing out and we're scratching our heads in the aftermath of everything, you know what Alvarez in his corner was over there doing? They said, you know, we got him right where we want him.
Exactly.
Because we know that this,
did you hear
because,
that?
Because
yeah.
we know that this is a guy that gets frustrated. It's kind of like the bully effect. Andre was calling him a bully, you know what I mean, everything else, whatever.
Yeah.
We saw what happened with Mike Tyson. When Tyson knew that you weren't bothered by his power, when he hit you with shots that would normally bother some other people and it wasn't bothering this guy, now all of a sudden psychologically you start checking out, right?
Exactly.
And that's exactly when Alvarez started going to the body, started coming up with a little bit more work behind them haymakers. All right?
Exactly.
And all of a sudden Kovalev is a thing of the past.
Right.
All of a sudden in 3 minutes Kovalev was a thing of the past.
Right. Did you see what Alvarez did in the sixth round when he leaned him up against the ropes? Kovalev was favoring his back. That was a ploy from Alvarez's corner. There's a lot of little things that go into boxing that we all know about. And he did it the second time in round seven before he been knocked down, the knockout. I said, son of a bitch, this guy is wrestling this freaking dude. But that is because this guy, you know, and before everybody knew that he was a fake news crusher, before we found out that he's not the crusher, these little tricks were being played on the dude until now. And this is what I was saying to you guys, that he didn't look good in his comeback fight, and I think I said it to you guys last week. Don't be surprised if this Alvarez pulls it out, because he's an ex-Olympian, he's tough, he's 23, 11 knockouts, and he's hungry.
Let me tell you something. While it's on my mind, Doc, because I know you want to flip in here. We had the great fortune, all right, Doc, myself, and a few others, but mainly Doc and myself, to run into Nassim Richardson. All right.
He was there last night. Damn.
So this is why when you start talking about things that we talk about on this show, this is exclusive stuff, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about brother Nassim and everything
the
else
of their kind, you guys.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So brother Nassim starts talking to us about Bernard Hopkins and how Hopkins was beating younger guys and everything else or whatever, and how he drew the line with Joe Smith. All right, but how old was Bernard Hopkins at Joe Smith?
40,
Joe Smith,
50.
Right, damn near 50. Right, Doc, did he not tell us that when he got rid of Antonio Tarver in 2006?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The trainer started planting seeds in the fighter to hang him up. That usually doesn't happen. Now at that point in time, Bernard Hopkins is 40 years old.
Exactly.
We got a 35-year-old Kovalev over here. All right, who for all intents and purposes ain't motivated no more.
Right.
So when you got a situation like that, that's when the trainer, whoever he is, whether it's John David Jackson or whomever, is supposed to say, I'm not training you, I'm pulling out of this fight, because I know exactly what it is that I need to get out of my world championship elite fighter who's going in here to die to defend his title. And that's not what Sergey Kovalev was in a position to do. You have to make sure that a man is mentally, psychologically, and physically there to go out and defend his world championship as if he's trying to go win one.
And the reason why
he wasn't able to do that is because he was no longer really there. And it's the trainer who has to know that. You know what I mean? Bernard Hopkins don't come out of cereal boxes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
you know,
right.
But you know what? Here's a good point, too, now, and you bring it up. Doc Stanley, sports the Block Talk Radio and Trust in God. Nerd Tasman is here. We Atlantic City Live, back in our New York studios in Queens. And Dusty, you know, here's the thing, too, that as you look at, and you're looking at what Nassim said, and you said about the corner being allergic. I mean, you know, Olaf had got a brand new corner. He supposedly was coming with a brand new corner. So, to a certain degree, here's some people who kind of maybe didn't give a damn, okay, or just couldn't see it. And you know, from the other aspect, you're talking about what Nassim was talking about last night, was on the money. And in Kovalov's case, the new corner, the new changes brought back the same old results.
Yeah, because the fact of the matter is that Kovalev, just like you play blind man bluff or you poker and you got a bad hand and you want to bluff the dude, he's walking around with the crusher's back because he had two knockouts over tomato cans. And this guy who hadn't fought in 5 years and was supposed to get a fight with Superman Stevens, and Superman Stevens does not fight the mandatory challenges. He picks up dead meat from the cemetery and fights him. And this guy, he was supposed to fight, so he accepted the Kovalev thing. Kovalev,
I'm gonna tell you something.
He hasn't fought in 5 years. Well, hey, that's an easy walk. But he didn't realize that this freaking Colombian, I mean, who have been fighting in Canada, first of all, he beat Pascal, he beat Jason Boutte, he beat Shalamba. I mean, so how easy could this guy be? So
you know what, Dusty?
Yeah.
Were you at the last fight with Kovalev when he had it, when he was in there with Igor Mikhalkin at the Garden on March 3rd?
The last guy he knocked out. The southpaw with the cut eye or something. Yeah.
Yes, his countryman. All right, so we're in there, and let me tell you something. Looking at him that night or whatever, I wrote it in a preview article that he could be in trouble if the lighter Alvarez that was in there with Lucien Boutte shows up last night, and he kind of did. So here's the thing. I haven't really been happy with Sergey Kovalev's body of work, his physicality, since the Isaac Chalimba fight. I didn't like that. And it's mighty funny that last night we see a 27-year-old Dmitry Bivol in there with Isaac Chalimba, a little longer in the tooth. But at the same time, look, we saw Bivol in there with Sullivan Barrera. You know what I mean? Going into the 12th round, who's just as physically strong as Isaac Chalimba. But look, I mean, he was giving him way more to deal with, was Chalimba, against Bivol last night than did Sullivan Barrera. So what that told me was that physically, it's Isaac Chalimba who's responsible for the dilemma that Sergey Kovalev wound up in.
Exactly.
And these are the type of things that a lot of people who follow the sport of boxing really understand the physicality and just how one fight can change the whole nature of a fighter's anatomy.
And one fight can give you the message of the fact that the dude is not the same. But people
don't see that.
The majority don't see that. They're just fans instead of being analysts and getting internalizing with these dudes, because that's what I do, walk in their shoes and feel what they feel. I said, this guy ain't ready. I think last week when we were on the show, I said, don't sell Alvarez short. This dude is a bad son of a bitch. Kovalev has not looked the same since war. And Alvarez could have won by decision. That's the way I felt, because I had him ahead by 2 points. But the fact of the matter is that he succeeded in proving to us, at least I can speak for you guys, that he's no longer the bad crusher that he was. And when he took that right hand, he was finishing that first knockdown. But the referee...
Look.
Javi Doc, you're getting a break.
Yeah. It takes a lot of energy to execute the type of game plan and style that Kovalev has.
Exactly.
Anybody that's ever been in the ring knows that when you're hopping around like that, when you're pulling away from punches, you know what I mean? When everything that you do in your game is athletic, all right, and at 35, after having some attrition in your body, you're no longer a 12-round championship fighter. You're more like a 6- or 8-round fighter, and that's what he is. His corner didn't tell him to pace himself. He was not tying up. You know what I mean? He wasn't turning 3-minute rounds into 2 rounds. This is what you do when you're an older fighter and you want to start manipulating things to try to make sure that you finish the damn fight.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And this is what I had a problem with last night in watching this. I went to the bathroom feeling comfortably that Kovalev would still be around. When I came out of the restroom, it was over. Everybody was making their way for the goddamn exit.
You got cheated.
I didn't even see the damn stoppage.
But the fact of the matter is that
I'm still here.
Yeah, if you were to look at the issues, you were cheated because it was a matter of time. Like they say, don't blink and don't go to the bathroom and don't do that because it's going to be over in 2 seconds. That's exactly what it was, because it was only a matter of time. I saw the dude pound Kovalev. Body shot. Kovalev slowed down. He was throwing sloppy punches like he did to Ward in the second fight. And this guy was still pinpointing. Did you see this guy Alvarez's jabs? Kovalev looked like a bobblehead,
All week long. And right, when this first fight came up, you kept saying, this is a tough guy. At first I said, well,
yeah,
it's a Latin thing. Said, well, you know, Dusty's thinking again. On the real side, though, you said from the beginning, Dusty, that what happened last night was going to happen. And Taz, after the second round, you said, hey, man, this is done because this kid, the blueprint that Alvarez Corner put up worked precisely, and he followed it precisely. And he kind of tipped his hand in the fourth round when he went back to the corner like, you know, hey, I got him. You know, like,
I got him.
He did it. He did it.
It's only a matter of time, and he was out jabbing him, hit him with a few hard body shots, and you can see Kovalev was doing a repetition of the second Ward fight. He was slowing down. But
and only people that know boxing can know when Alvarez is putting his arms up at the end of the fourth round after really being shellacked in that round.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That ought to tell you something about where a fighter's mindset is. He's telling him psychologically, Kovalev, look, bro, you didn't hurt me with your best stuff. You're almost running out of gas, and I'm about to get your ass.
Right. And I got you.
And nothing he thought, nothing he said, it didn't come to fruition last night. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio for the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Hard Rock Cafe here in Atlantic City. Me and the Tasman, last night's fight, exciting. A good crowd, good turnout. A lot of people asked about you, Dusty. They were looking for you. Now, we look at the other Russian, and we got to take our hats off to Kathy. We got to run to you know, Taz, Dusty. First of you, Taz, you know, she knows her boxing, and she has had a backup plan there, Taz.
She did. She did. And now her backup plan just got a little bit harder because, you know, look, I mean, when it comes to boxing and negotiations, especially when it comes to securing, you know, top-notch elite talent, all right, now that Kovalev is gone and Dmitry Bivol is still a free agent who was being courted by Main Event, well, now other suitors can come along and say, look, our roster is a little bit thicker than theirs, right? We got a little bit more to work with.
Exactly.
Kathy's a nice lady and everything else or whatever, but nice ladies, you know what I mean, don't qualify as good business women when it comes to this type of situation.
Yeah.
Right now, it's better for you to be over here with us.
Exactly.
And Dmitry Bivol is on the fence as to what he wants to do. Kathy looked very, very despondent and depressed last night. I'm talking about it looked like you know something happened to her son.
I have never seen Kathy Duva look like
never.
That. I've never seen Kathy Duva look like that at all. She only smiled briefly when we made the mention of the salutations and admiration and appreciation that Bivy displayed toward her being his promoter and giving an opportunity. But you're right. I mean, she. I've never seen Kathy Duva look like that, Taz.
Never.
Jesse, you should have been there, man. Wow.
Yeah, but the problem here is that, yes, now she's in the dilemma. She has to play footsie with Alvarez. In fact, the guy who trains Alvarez is the guy that has David Lemieux. And he has all them guys. So she has to be very friendly with these people, but still in all, she can play games because she still has a light heavyweight champ. Even though he was exposed, in my opinion, by Chalemba, he's not the killer that he thought he was, but he was exposed
but, you know,
by Chalemba.
Once again, you have to understand, I have to tell you guys this over and over again. You guys are eagles dealing with pigeons. What you see, it's remarkable to me, what you see from TV, what you and Taz see from the ringside up in the stands. But, you know, the average person ain't got a clue, man. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Sports and Death.
The other guy, not Kovalev, he got knocked out.
Don't see that. Don't see it.
People don't see People don't see the ins and outs. We're like scientists. We dissect the frog and we see the insides. And people don't see that. They just see what they see flat screen. And this is all they saw. But the fact of the matter is, now the nature of the business and how this guy was tearing down and bullshit and putting up a front of who he was and was not. And then he gets a young thug who was hungry, who was denied for 5 years, you know, and he had a nationalistic campaign for his people in Colombia. I was trying to read whether he was the first Colombian light heavy or was it Carlos Monzon. I don't remember, but he did something that his country has not had in millenniums. So here he was, getting a title and becoming a world champ. So now he's in the negotiations.
They got one now. Just we got to run. We'll do some more parts of this show. We'll do something tomorrow. Dusty, live from my twin studios, me and Taz down here at AC. Life's most persistent urgent question is,
right.
What are you doing for the service of others? Is the rent you pay for your room here on earth? I am my brother's keeper. Dusty, say goodbye in Spanish for us real quick.
Adiosito from Atlantic City. Okay. Take care, Taz. God bless you, baby.
You too, bro.
Okay.
Taz,
okay,
can you talk to me real quick? Okay, Taz, real quick, Marvin Gaye takes it away.
Yeah, okay.
Let him take it away.
Okay, you can get any last thoughts, Taz?
Well, I just want to say that, look, I mean, you know, boxing at its best is unpredictable, all right? Now, the reason we come to the fights is because we don't know. We might be sure, but the results are going to be sure to be a surprise more oftentimes than not. And that's what we get. That's why we follow the sweet science. There's no guarantees in this sport. Anything can change at any point in time in the fight, and that's the reason why we have
You're
so many boxing
right,
fans and why we love the sport.
Yeah. We,
you know what?
You
the one thing
Don
about boxing,
we
know somebody's going to win. The thing is, we don't know who that somebody's going to be.
Well,
I don't know.
I told you last week. Okay, I told you.
You know, hey, Dusty, you were supposed to speak Spanish from here on in, man. Get out of here.
Later.
Bye.
Love you guys. Doc Stanley's president at Broad Talk Radio for the Trusted Government Network. Dusty from our studios live in Queens, New York. Me and Ty saying goodbye from Hard Rock Cafe, Atlantic City. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust my God. Trust in God. Like I say, my people are the best. Doc Stanley, sportsman at Broad Talk Radio, the Trusted Government Network. God bless you all. Trust in God. Marvin Gaye has this to say before I go on my way. Mr. Gaye, come on here, man.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow, no.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, you got love. Save the babies. Oh, the blood feels. You got feeling. You will save the babies. All of the children. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world.
With that, we gotta go. It's the end of the show. Today, give you a couple of quick ones. In other words, a lot of people lose their religion and some money. Most friendships, you're the friend, they're just sailing on your ship. And a shout out today. These people find it hard to say. I don't know. I was wrong. Doc Stanley, sports in the Bob Talk Radio, the Trust in God Network. By my heart, God bless you all and trust in God.